Do you have any information in regards to land grabbing? Or you're aware of a person who has been evicted and their property destroyed because of land disputes? Report to Witness Radio through our numbers 0414-697-221 or WhatsApp 0745-965-765. Or you can report directly to our website on www.witnessradio.org. Just click on the map, follow the direction, click on the map indicating the individuals and the land being grabbed. Click on that word, report evictions. Then report any victim of land evictions. Thereafter, search for your area of residence on that map. Click your area of residence, then a red dot will indicate. Click the red dot and fill in the form, then save your input. Don't forget to attach the picture of the grabbed land in question, then upload to send. Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
Good morning, Uganda. Good morning, Africa. Thank you for staying tuned to Witness Radio. This is The Dawn, and we are here to kickstart your day every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 a.m. East African time. Kindly follow us on all our social media platforms like X, formerly Twitter, at Witness Radio, on Instagram at Witness Radio, and Facebook at Witness Radio Uganda. You can tune in live on our website at www.witnessradio.org. or by visiting the Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. In case you would like to chat with us, please do so through our WhatsApp, which is +256 745 965 765, or you can call us directly on +256 414 697 221. Coming up is You Got to See the World by Morgan Heritage and Eddie Kenzo. When we come back, we shall be exploring what is really happening in areas where RSPO certified plantations operate and whether the certification means anything to the people most affected. My name is Eunice. Once again, good morning.
It's a big world out there. Sometimes where you come from is not where you belong. So know that. Sometimes where you come from, they're not happy if you see you prosper. They're not happy if you see you grow. So you find another place. You got to see the world. To offer me. Now it's a very big world out there, and it's better I go and I see what I have to offer. Then I see it every wonder, cause I know.
You got to see the world. so so kutambulucha ewe chikwata tewe binyuma okumanya kunji kunji
sawale
people just paper baby gani enda wataleta yukuiga binji noeji munji
never you give up on searching for better. The doubters can tell you whatever. Just know the possibilities are there are endless and forever. So never give up on yourself. And don't you worry about nothing else. Because if you can't help yourself, how can you help someone else? Always reach for the stars and incline. And never forget who you are. Cause you're gonna face so much more. So much more than you'd bargain for. Never you hold back yourself for fear of what's out there. That could just be what you're waiting for. You got to see the world.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
All right, welcome back from that short musical break. You are still listening to The Dawn, only here at Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. Don't forget you can catch us live on our website at www.witnessradio.org or by visiting the Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. And yes, in today's program, we are looking at the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil, RSPO. Is it serving its purpose or living up to its expectations? Formed in 2004, the RSPO was meant to clean up the palm oil industry to protect forests, uphold human rights, and make palm oil production sustainable. But today, nearly two decades after, communities across Africa, Asia, and Latin America are telling a different story, one marked by land grabs, exploitation, environmental harm, and broken promises. Taking you back a bit, palm oil is the world's most widely used vegetable oil. You will find it in chocolate, soap, biscuits, margarine, and even biodiesel. But its production has come at a heavy cost: deforestation, climate change, displacement of communities, and human rights violations. To respond to these criticisms, the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil, RSPO, Voluntary Certification Program was created in 2004. Its goal was to make palm oil sustainable. A group of stakeholders from different sectors of the industry founded it, and they include World Wildlife Fund, the Malaysian Palm Oil Association, Unilever, Migros, among others. In today's program, we explore what's really happening in areas where RSPO certified plantations operate and whether the certification means anything to the people most affected, with civil society leaders and experts. Aminata Finda, a media practitioner from Sierra Leone and a social commentator who started her journey in 2019 as a reporter and moved on to be a presenter, producer, and now a station manager of Culture Radio in Freetown, and the National Coordinator for Women's Network Against Rural Plantations Injustice, a women's-led advocacy group on women's land rights issues, shares with us the experiences of communities with oil palm growing projects, especially in Sierra Leone, where she has worked.
All right, thank you so much. And, you know, as being part of the African Alliance, I will not just talk on behalf of Sierra Leone communities, but I will just talk on behalf of the so many communities around West and Central Africa. It is so because I've had the opportunity to listen to stories from these communities, touching stories of how communities are being deprived, how communities are being marginalized, how communities are being suppressed just because of the expansion of these multinational companies. You know, it is sad that when they come, they present themselves very well to convince our communities. They come through our leaders. And we all know most of our leaders are only interested in the packages or whatever they will receive from these companies. And they will not monitor any, they will not monitor anything beyond that. I would say the impact has been so huge and negatively, to be very candid. You know, here is people that have been depending on their land for survival. They had no other means of survival. They are not educated, they've not been to school, they've not learned any other trade. They've been using the land to live well and take care of their families. And we now have this beautiful presentation of a company coming, you know, will take care of you, will open schools, will build you bridges, will build you community centers, will give scholarships to your children, and all of that. And then they will say, oh, yes, this is good. This is very good news. I mean, everybody wants to grow in life, right? Everybody wants to see some changes or a difference in what you do, you know, air in, air out. But the worst thing is it has been a regret to these communities because what they thought would come and transform their situation has become the worst nightmare that they are faced with. It is now like fighting back and saying, had I known, I would not have given my land to these companies. Had I known, I would not have allowed them. But again, don't forget, most of also these community people did not give their consent. The leaders would just say, oh yes, we'll give you land from ABC and this, I mean, this amount of hectares without asking for, you know, prior consent of these community members, landholders or land users. And then they will just see machines working on their ground. When you ask, yes, the chief or the president or the minister have signed on your behalf an agreement that you don't have any clue to. So, I mean, if you're asking about the impact, I would say it has been very negative. It has been very terrifying because now they are deprived, they are hungry. They cannot feed well, they cannot live well, they cannot take care of their families. Because what they know as an office, what they know as their own space, has been taken away from them. And some have been threatened because they are standing up and asking the critical questions. Women are being raped because, you know, when they venture into these forests, they take advantage of them. A lot is happening. They are losing control over their families. If you cannot feed your children, they go elsewhere to look for food. And so they don't listen to them. They don't really have control over their families. So if you are measuring it, you know, asking me what the impact is, I would say it has been devastating.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
You're listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio.
She further added that their leaders in Sierra Leone are using the community's grievances as a campaigning tool after which they do not get back to resolve.
Yeah, that is an interesting question. You know, some of these proposals, the companies, it is even difficult for the companies to have a copy of it, these agreements. Because, as I said, they engage leaders and they will keep promising the communities, we'll give you a copy, we'll come with it. You know, it will take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and then it goes like that. Of course, the agreements are there. It is in the hands of our leaders. The companies have their own copies. Our ministers have it. Even our presidents, it's afraid of it. Presidents have been there when they signed it. Now we have a new president. He has been following what was happening for the Sierra Leone case. The president now was in opposition when these agreements were signed. He was using the situation to campaign in some of these communities. They said, no, and no, they did not treat you well. This is not done. How can you treat your people like this? No, I will, if you vote for me, I will come and review these agreements. I'll come and see that you know, the right thing is being done. And now, fortunately for him, he became the president. He's now the president, and things are going from bad to worse. All of the promises he took to the communities for them to vote for him, the community people were very happy because they thought, this is our own son. He will come and change our situation. The company will now listen to us. The company will now work in our favor. Our lands will be beneficial to us. Nothing is happening. It's been 5 years. The first time is finished. Nothing has changed. And now we are in the third year of his second term. So it's like 7 years plus now. He hasn't done anything. There has been other violence erupting from the community. Quite recently, they were there. They said they signed an MOU between the company and the communities. And the community people, the landowners, were not informed. They were not involved. They were not there. So who is signing on behalf of who? They made this a very big show. They went to the chief minister, went there. He went with a barrage of media, you know, to cover the story, the signing of this and that. We started receiving calls because even some of us that are working in those communities, we are not informed. I would have loved to be there to be part of it, to monitor and ask questions, but we are not informed. We started receiving calls from the communities. Oh, what is happening? They have come here to sign MOUs. We start following up. It's just a big shot, another deceptive way, you know. So nothing is working in the interest of our community people.
Indifferent from the above, the similar incidents are taking place in East Africa, where people are losing out their land and a few who survive the plight are being recruited as outgrowers who unfortunately have no say in the prices they are supposed to sell, as the country director for Witness Radio, Jeffrey Wokulida Sebagala, clarified.
As you might be aware, we have about 7 nations or member states into this region, but Uganda and Tanzania are known to have started with growing the old palm trees, and Uganda is taking a lead. So when you look at Uganda experience, even from other land-based investments, these stories from the communities is not far different from what has happened before, and even from what our colleague Aminata from Sierra Leone and West Africa have shared. Because first of all, the effect, the negative effect on farmers is, I think, it's like unexplainable, because you can imagine one owning land because of our tenure systems, but then he or she has no opportunity even to meet investors. What comes or what goes to them, if they are lucky, these are government officials trying to sugarcoat these projects. And people even do not have opportunity to say no. Communities are not consulted. And then at the end of the day, what we see in communities where, for instance, in Kalangala, Vuma, people have already lost their land. For purposes of understanding the land ownership, in East Africa, I think Uganda is one of those countries rich kind of a newer system, which allows citizens to even to own land. And these are the communities that the government is trying to target. One, they have lost their land already. Two, those who have not lost their land, they have been recruited as outgrowers. But even that kind of arrangement, these outgrowers do not really determine. They have no say in terms of determining how much to sell. So they have no access to market. So ideally you grow and you have to, it's a must that you've got to sell to that company that has been supplying you with seeds, but even the farm inputs. Now, its own effects, of course, is that where the oil palm trees are being grown, these are areas of, these are protected areas. Some are natural forests where communities, these natural forests have been really very beneficial to communities. So the forests have been cut down in the name of planting oil palm trees in areas where it's not really a forest. It is either on an island or border land to a lake or a big river. And all these sort of things will have happened, including agrochemicals that have been applied on these in their plantations. But even communities have gotten their own effects. In other words, land has been lost. People have lost livelihood. People have lost access to their cultural rights because some of these forests have been, so communities have been getting their herbs. They have also been getting other things like mushrooms, white ants. I mean, so you can imagine that once a community has lost its land, and what they have been able really to benefit from natural forests, how do you expect change? Idea, there's no change. Even in Tanzania, it's the same case. They are growing along Lake Tanganyika. And of course, the government really have been singing, especially Uganda and Tanzania. They have been singing the industrialization song. So they want to industrialize the East African member states. But when you look at what the industrialization is bringing to benefit the smallholder farmers, it is this information that is not given to the communities. But even those that have been lucky to sign some contracts, they are written in English. They are not translated. So, and people have been trying to use different approaches to fight and get back their land, going to courts, going to, you know, this has never been successful. Why? Courts have been captured by these corporations. Courts are also acting on orders. So judges, most of them are now people who listen more to the government. I would say some of them are cadre judges. So you make the poor community again struggle to travel long distances accessing courts, but at the same time also without knowing even when they are likely to get their justice. So when you talk about the oil palm oil growing and the RSPO, I can even bet if there is a community in East Africa that have an idea about these RSPOs. Of course, they might, when you read and see what was written, some parts are good, but these good aspects have not been taken to the communities. Communities do not even know how to fight back, you know, don't even know how to engage them. But even the companies that are really involved in oil palm tree growing, they don't even have mechanisms where people, communities can go and raise their complaints. As in, when I can give an example, communities that were found poor, they are now impoverished. They can't even actually access basic needs as a family. Trust me, children have dropped out of school and they have inherited diseases that have come along because of the plantation inputs. So to me, there is no change as far as East Africa, particularly in Uganda and Tanzania. I'm also I also learned, even Kenya, I started discussing the same. So where you find communities driving their livelihood on land, once land is taken away, so they are going to be internal displacements, not because of civil war. We are going to see displacement because of land-based investments. And one of them is oil palm tree growing. So that is the situation. There's no change. Thank you.
Let us get into a commercial break. Do not move. More is yet to come.
Farmers, do you want to learn essential agricultural practices and benefit from your land? Look no further. Tune in to Witness Radio for expert knowledge and guidance.
This is Witness Radio, connecting indigenous and local community voices.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
All right, welcome back from that short break. You are still listening to The Dawn, only here at Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. You can catch us live on our website at www.witnessradio.org or by visiting the Google Play Store on your phone and downloading the Witness Radio app. We are still continuing with a roundtable on sustainable palm oil, RSPOs, as to whether it's living up to its expectations. According to Davlin Kuyek, an expert working with grain in Canada, industrial palm oil plantations are rooted in colonial exploitation created to control land and labor for the benefit of European powers. Today, this model continues driving deforestation, pollution, land grabbing, and widespread human rights abuses, including violence against women and the repression of local communities. Deville criticizes the RSPO for enabling corporations to continue these practices under a false label of sustainability. He urges that palm oil expansion is driven by corporate profit, not local food security. He calls for shutting down these plantations and restoring land to communities through traditional, community-based systems that prioritize justice and sustainability.
And they created these plantations, starting in Africa, where oil palms come from. That's the center of origin for oil palms. So that they can better control labor, so they could more effectively exploit labor, so that they could get high yields of palm oil, and so that they could ensure a guaranteed supply of palm oil to Europe, of exports to Europe. And that is the model that we still have today. And it involves brutal deforestation. It involves labor exploitation, and it involves pollution, the use of chemicals, and so many other impacts, like what Aminata mentioned, which is very important to consider: sexual violence against women or violence against local communities, repression of local communities, and of course, all kinds of land grabbing. And this is the model that RSPO certifies, because that is the model that provides all these big food companies with access to cheap vegetable oil. And that's the reason why you're seeing such an expansion of plantations or even outdoor schemes for oil, for palm oil. It's because these companies want the cheapest vegetable oil that they can get their hands on. It's not for any other reasons. It's not to feed people. It's not for food security. It's not to provide good jobs. It's to provide these companies with a cheap source of vegetable oil that they can turn into other products, right? And you can only grow oil palms in a very particular areas of the world. It has to be near the equator. It has to be in tropical areas. So those are very prized lands for companies that are looking to expand oil palm plantations. And those areas are where you have indigenous communities, where you have local communities, where you have community forests, rainforests. So those are the areas where these companies are targeting. And they're going to places where they can find, where they can get their hands on large areas of land, where they can make deals with corrupt governments and corrupt local leaders who are prepared to sell out their people and give them access to huge areas of land, who are prepared to send in the police and forcibly displace their people, who are prepared then to police people who are when the plantations are in operation, and arrest them and constantly harass them and beat them and imprison them, saying that they stole palm nuts from the companies. So there's just wherever these plantation companies go, there's an explosion of land conflicts, there's an explosion of violence, and there's an explosion of impacts on communities. So it's the corporations that need this palm oil. It is not people, right? It's the corporations that need these plantations. It's not local communities in Africa. And any move towards sustainability would be to encourage the traditional systems of oil palm production in Africa, if that's what was really the interest. And we should be shutting down these old colonial plantations. They're an abomination. They're a leftover from the brutality of the colonial period. They shouldn't be expanded. They should be shut down, and the land should be given back to the people. And decent, dignified jobs should be provided to the workers in other sectors. Now, the sole purpose of the RSPO is to give a license to companies to continue with their plantations. So we know this plantation model, this colonial plantation model, wherever it is put in place, whether it's in Latin America, whether it's in Indonesia, Malaysia, whether it's in Sri Lanka, whether it's in all countries in Africa, we know that it will always cause the same negative impacts. We know that inevitably, there is no case where the community living next to a plantation is doing well. They're all in poverty. They're all in a state of food insecurity. They're all in a state of constant harassment. So there is no way that the RSPO can function, can do what it claims, when its main thing is to certify this model of production. And that's why you will always get failings. You will see, like in cases in Gabon, where they, you know, there's a company called Olam, which has taken over 100,000 hectares in Gabon and claims to be one of the most sustainable companies on the planet when it comes to palm oil production. They're polluting the waters with chemical pesticides and leading to food insecurity and all kinds of issues with the local communities. All kinds of instances of violence and abuse, particularly sexual violence directed at women, because of the way that these plantation models are set up and the vulnerability that creates for local communities. So really the only way to address these problems is to take back those lands, to shut the plantations down, and to turn to another model of food production, one that's really based on the needs of local people and one that's based on local knowledge and local varieties and local food systems.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
As we've heard from experts like Davil Kuyek and Aminata Finda, the expansion of industrial plantations across Africa is not just an environmental issue. It's a fight for land rights and justice. With powerful interests backing land grabs and exploitative models like those certified by the RSPO, communities are left to resist with limited resources. But awareness is growing. From legal education to grassroots mobilization, people are reclaiming their power. As communities come together to reflect and resist, the message is clear. Africa's land is not for sale, and its people will not be silenced. And that brings us to the end of our show today, The Dawn, only here at Witness Radio. I implore you to listen to us every weekday from 5 to 6 a.m. East African time through our website at www.witnessradio.org or by visiting the Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. For any comments and interactions, do not hesitate to reach out to us on our WhatsApp, which is +256 745 965 765, or by directly calling us on +256 0414-697-221. My name is Eunice. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio. Catch us live every Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Don't miss. See you next time.